If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
I relied upon the FBI as the fact finders here and the lawyers in the National Security Division to vet the accuracy of the FISA application. And
all of them hated Trump, right?
No, Senator, they did not hate Trump.
Well, if I may.
I have to speak up here for the career men and women of the Department of Justice. You know, there were...
Oh, I'm not talking about all the career men and women. I think you and your colleagues have tarnished the reputation of the FBI.
Yeah, that's the damage that is done. Sally Yates, the former acting AG Yates, the senators finally get a chance to look into this this debacle, this soft coup. I mean, what else do I call it? But an attempt to get rid of Donald Trump, legitimately elected, and his enemies use in this bogus dossier, Democrat Party funded dossier with foreign interests, with foreign players involved in developing all these lies. And this whole Russia, the fiasco turned to be nothing. And you and I as taxpayers, everybody else, what was it? Like $25, $27 million investigation, wild goose chase that led nowhere. And it all started with this secretive court, this FISA application that someone signed off on, and it just perpetuated the lie. I started this investigation about a foreign influence, Russia influence on the election. And as Senator Graham, there were grillings as Sally Yates this week. She kept talking about, well, it's a legitimate investigation, and the Russians trying to influence the election. Senator Graham saying, but January, you guys proving all this, you guys moving for this investigation, the election was over. Let me see if I can get another cut. I know Kimmy did a good job putting some cuts together on this one. Oh, yeah, cut two, Kimmy. Yates on the money shot from this conversation between Senator Graham and Sally Yates. Go ahead, Kimmy.
Here's what I want to understand. It's a counterintelligence investigation that led to the interview. You didn't authorize the interview. As a matter of fact, you wanted to go to the White House and tell them about the problem, didn't you?
Yeah, but who went?
That's right. I thought that was the more immediate issue.
And when you heard about the interview, you got upset, didn't you?
I was upset that Director Comey didn't coordinate that with us and acted unilaterally. Yes, I was.
Okay. Did Comey go rogue?
Then you could use that term, yes.
Finally.
Comey went rogue. I don't know, man. That sounds to me like a great slogan for a T-shirt, don't you think? Somebody's going to want capitalizing on this. Someone's going to invest in like 10,000 T-shirts. Comey went rogue. You know, for all the noise related to the bogus dossier and the Russia investigation that went nowhere. Effort to impeach the president, nowhere. The effort for this so-called soft coup that has behind it probably a lot of hard criminal activity behind the scenes, not only with some investigators, but some people in lawmaking capacity who put together the effort to take down Donald Trump with the impeachment and all these lies that were said. All these people, the information that they exposed, they put out in the open that they shouldn't have, that they broke the law as well, potentially broke the law. All this convoluted investigation that went absolutely nowhere, and the president survived a so-called soft coup. I would hope that somebody is eventually prosecuted, but look, we have less than 90 days for the next election. Will Barr, our attorney general, you know, looking into this. He's got a special dog hunting down this thing, investigating. With the clock ticking towards the next election, this is just my point of view. I don't see it, friend. I just don't. I know some people engross themselves. They just deep dive in. But look, Serge, this happened. Nothing's going to happen. I don't believe anybody is going to be prosecuted. I just don't see it. Because at the moment, before the election, at the moment that something is, you know, a name is released, the files are, you know, put together, criminal charges are brought against somebody, you know how it's going to be spun by everybody on the left that's carrying water for the Democrat Party, for Joe Biden, hoping that Uncle Joe, Hiding Biden, I don't know who it was, I think it was a Fox News program, I heard that term, Hiding Biden, is eventually elected president. If they're going to carry the water and say, no, this is a political, the president of the United States using the Justice Department again, his lapdog, William Barr, to try to win the election. Prosecutorial misconduct. Miscarriage of justice. Maybe November 4th after the election? Well, maybe. Man, I would love to see Bill Barr show up November 4th after the president. And it's not going to be November 4th because, oh, there's so many things that go into this thing. Oh, my goodness. As Dana says, oh, my goodness. And by the way, I'm not Dana. I'm Sergio. Our buddy Dana is getting some rest. I hope she's getting some rest, but I don't know, man. I see her on Twitter and Parler. More on Twitter. Dana, go to Parler, please. More Parler, please. Less Twitter. She's all over the place commenting on this and that. Woman, take a breather. Get some rest, please. November 4th, as much as I would wish it would happen November 5th, I don't even think it's going to be November 4th or 5th, because the way the election is shaping up right now, it's all a lot of mail-in vote. Maybe there'll be some, I don't know if it's still kind of close. If Donald Trump is not able to deep six the Joe Biden campaign in the three debates that are coming up, there's a call for a fourth one from his camp. It ain't going to happen. But of the three debates that are coming up, if he doesn't sink that Biden ship and it's still kind of close and Uncle Joe has some moxie, some fight in him, and he gets some sound bites to kind of help him, and maybe it's still close in some of these swing states, which I don't think it's going to happen. Man, I'm still suspicious whether there will actually be a debate. I don't know. They'll try to find some excuse for Joe Biden not to show up. You know, which reminds me. Let me go back to the audio here on. Where's the Dan Bond? Oh, there it is. All the talk radio people, commentators, and editorial people, there's one calls himself the great one. And I send him a hug and a kiss. Dan Bongino, I refer to him as the awesome one. So there's just something Dan floated out there. I'm just going to, you know, he said it. Dana didn't. I didn't. He just throwing it out there. And you know, Dan, you know, you're familiar with talk radio and conservative media. You know who Dan is. Dan Bongino. So it's cut 11, Kimmy. Here's one of the reasons I don't think Joe Biden's going to show up. Go ahead, Kimmy.
I got some information, let's say a few days ago or so. I don't want to nail anybody down, but Biden's in bad shape, Sean. Now, that's not a mystery, but here's the new information. It's not that he's in bad shape. Everybody knows that. It's that his bad shape is getting better on not an arithmetic scale, but on an exponential one. The people around him are seriously concerned. In other words, it's not getting bad on a 2+2 scale. It's getting bad on a 10 times 10 scale. They're very concerned day by day about him. I'm not kidding. And my sources have never let me down on this.
All right, that's Dan Bongino, the awesome one. Yeah, obviously he's talking to Hannity on his Fox program. I mean, excuse the faux pas from Dano, getting badder. No, getting worse, exponentially, he says. There's still quite a bit of distance. The first debate isn't till like late September. Do you know that? Almost 2 months away. It's still 2 months away. So in the final month before the election, Donald Trump has three swings at the piñata, or you could look at Joe Biden if he takes, what is it he could take? Ginkgo biloba, Prevagen? I don't know drink more fish oil or something like that. Maybe he'll drink like several bottles of that and finally get his moxie back, and he'll jump around the court. It's probably just going to be Donald Trump and Joe Biden, right, looking at each other and on one stage, no audience. And like Joe Biden did earlier this week when he was talking to that black CBS anchor, asking him about, hey, what about all these people asking that you take a mental acuity test? He said, hey, oh, your son, come on, man. He said, come on, man. It's like me asking if you're a crackhead, right? That's what he said. If you're addicted to cocaine or you're a crackhead. And I'm surprised no one made more of it. After all, you know, who he's speaking to. But I'll just leave that on the table. Another example of how Uncle Joe, oh, it's just Joe Biden. Oh, it's Uncle Joe. He always gets a pass. And he needs to be super sharp because Donald Trump's ready for him. And I'm sure his son and all these other people are exercising with him to bring up certain issues that will make Joe Biden comfortable. And one thing that you and I have seen for the longest time now, you remember that conversation. I do believe Joe Biden, what was he? I think it was like at a Michigan plant, right? It was like a Michigan auto plant about 2 months ago. Excuse me if it wasn't Michigan, but I just remember a bunch of workers with hard hats. I think it was like an auto plant. And one guy cornered just a regular Joe Schmo, regular citizen, and talked about the Second Amendment and talked about Joe Biden's leaning toward what making so-called Beto, right? Robert Francis O'Rourke, good Irish boy, trying to pretend he's Latino, Hispanic, that the talk back then, the scuttlebutt, was that he could put, you know, so-called Beto, Robert Francis O'Rourke, in charge of new legislation to, you know, control guns, gun control in this country, make him. And, of course, Beto's the one that says he's going to take all the rifles away. He'll go door to door if he has to. Remember that? All that conversation. And this guy, this regular worker at that plant, confronted Joe Biden and said, hey, what about the Second Amendment? And when Joe Biden gets cornered, when he gets feisty, he has the propensity, he has the habit of saying things that he regrets. Or that he should regret if, in media, he was treated the same as Donald Trump is being treated. Where, when Donald Trump exaggerates, he's a New Yorker. That's what New Yorkers do. They exaggerate everything. But he's not given one iota, benefit of the doubt. Not at all is Donald Trump. And they have to scrutinize and so-called fact check every single word, every single claim that Donald Trump says. Joe Biden, not so much. Oh, actually, Joe Biden, not at all. When you corner Joe Biden, he gets feisty and he says things. He says stupid things. And Donald Trump will force him to say stupid things. And of all of those people on the Democrat side to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't do an interview, allow Joe Biden to do a debate with Donald Trump, they might be onto something, hoping that maybe they think they're ahead in the game. They think they can play defense the rest of the game and eventually allow the time to run out. No. Yeah, that's, I believe it when I see it if Joe Biden shows up to the debate. And I can't wait for Donald Trump to corner him and allow Uncle Joe to start flapping his gums about something stupid and give conservatives what they need, those beautiful sound bites that can play over and over and over again with $1 billion ad budget. I'm Sergio. You're listening to The Dana Show. Our commander is out today, and I'm broadcasting The Dana Show from her affiliate here in Deep South Texas. I lovingly refer to it as Southern Command. The number to call, 844-344-DANA, 844-344-3262.
If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
This is The Dana Show. Dana's away. Our friend taking a few days off. I'm Sergio, and honored that you tune in. And if you want to join the conversation at any time, it's 844-344-3262. Live online, danaradio.com. So talking in the office early this morning, as there was we were expecting some big announcement from the Attorney General in New York, and just scuttlebutt behind the scenes, because, you know, just looking at from very far away, recalling some of the conversations up in New York, and it probably is another prosecutor's office looking into Trump charities, right, and getting access to financial records on Trump. I think that one is probably more, I might be misspeaking here, but I'm wondering if that's more a county or city-based. But anyway, the big announcement right before the show started, the Attorney General, New York, the action that had been teased earlier in the day, it's against the NRA, the National Rifle Association. The Attorney General up in New York wanting to dissolve the NRA. What happened? Went to the podium as a long news conference. It says 18-month investigation, and the charges, the claim from the Attorney General of New York, evidence that the NRA, her words, fraught with fraud and abuse. Letitia James, the AG, claiming that in the lawsuit that New York has filed, claims financial misconduct, millions of dollars, contributed to a loss of $64+ million over 3 years, alleging top chiefs at the NRA misused charitable money for personal gain, awarded contracts to friends, family, and contracts to former employees to ensure loyalty. So anyway, that was the big announcement that was teased earlier from the AG's office in New York. All right, Kimmy, let's do some quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let's see here. What else is in the headlines? Cadillac unveiling its future all-electric vehicle, they say, debuting it online. 2022 Lyric is the name of that crossover. Lyric crossover. It's all-electric. Let's see. NBA saying that they are coronavirus-free. Third consecutive week. Is anyone watching? Well, I know I'm not. I'm just not interested. I don't want to see anybody taking a knee. I don't want to hear any about that. And I've got a good team. Look, my heart was with the Rockets and Houston. It's a good team, and they'll probably do good in the little mini season. No, not interested. Let's see. Ren and Stimpy coming back. Comedy Central saying the 90s cartoon Greenlight, they're bringing it back. And philanthropist Doris Buffett, sister of Berkshire Hathaway great Warren Buffett, has passed away, age 92. Put some charities together to help people in prison, among many other things. You are listening to The Dana Show from South Texas or Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Your call's welcome. 844-344-DANA.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
We have great respect for the institution of the Supreme Court of the United States, but Chief Justice John Roberts has been a disappointment to conservatives, whether it be the Obamacare decision or whether it be a spate of recent decisions all the way through Calvary Chapel. It's a reminder, and I think several cases out of the Supreme Court are a reminder of just how important this election is for the future of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Hey, Barack Obama said it. He said it best right after he won 2008 and had all these Republicans sit around this. It wasn't a round table. It was like more like a big old rectangle, I think. He was playing Barack Obama back then, 2009. talking up all the Obamacare stuff. And he had a listening session. I remember this. And he had all these free market ideas. The gist of it, you shuck it down, just condense it, reduce it to not only theory, but fact. Increase supply, decrease the price. Increase more doctors, more clinics, decrease the price. Find a way to take regulations out, get more medical school students in there. So all these free market ideas, let people save their own money, pass it on to their kids. Why does the government have to control all this? Barack Obama pretended to listen. And he said it at the end when he refused to listen to all these great ideas. What did he say, Barack Obama? Hey, elections have consequences. Boom. That was the thesis for the full 8 years that he was at the White House, Barack Obama. Elections have consequences. And it's more than just Donald Trump, which, by the way, he's got a good ground game from what I see. I saved up a little article here on a lot of door knocking, good door knocking that's taking place right now. Good ground game compared to 2016 where, I don't know, I even think that Donald Trump was surprised that he got the nomination, that he won the White House. Like, what? Really? But things are different now, and he's got a good ground game. But it's more than just Donald Trump. It is a culture that leans toward, does not perfectly advocate for true, purist ideas that are free market based. But man, this guy, he hates regulation. He's taking regulation stops out all over the place, allowing companies to do what they do best, which is invest some money, do some stuff, grow some stuff, manufacture some stuff, sell some stuff, make profit on stuff, hire more people, make more stuff. It's called capitalism. Take all these silly regulations, all the bureaucracy out of the way, you move us and more in that direction. You move us more in a direction that will hopefully help protect the market through litigation and appointees to courts that will do the same. A more liberty-minded point of view that will help protect, hopefully, through judicial appointments at lower courts and eventually at the very highest court of the land, help protect things like, I don't know, religious liberty. I just find it just jaw-dropping. The legacy of George W. Bush. Now, all due respect and love for GW, I saw plenty of him as a young pup reporter many years back. Man, thank you, Jesus, for steering all, everything in the direction. I wasn't one of the little minions working in the campaign and sucking up to somebody trying to get a job at the White House. I was willing to do all that for GW back in, what was it, 20 years ago? During his campaign for president when he was governor of Texas back then. But this is the legacy of GW. And I'm sure, you know, he probably thought it was a good appointment. Maybe this guy was going to be more, in line with original thinking and not creating law from the bench, like, I don't know, redefining specific verbiage in Obamacare, where he said, no, that's not a penalty. That's not a fine. I think lawmakers meant to say tax, and they have the right to tax as the lawmaking body. So, yeah, John Roberts doing Obama the biggest favor he could, instead of shooting down Obamacare, which he had the power to say, hey, it's written wrong, go write it again. And that's the last thing that lawmakers under Obama wanted to do. They barely passed it. Remember all the legislative contortions that they went through to try to get this legislation passed by the skin of their teeth? They didn't have to vote on it twice. They said, okay, we'll take the previous version, declare it good. Let's combine it with the Senate version. And that way we'll just say we already voted on it. And they barely passed it and declared victory and did the victory lap dance. But it was written wrong. Penalty, fines. No, that's John Roberts. He took the pen of the lawmakers and said, no, that's a tax. Thanks a lot, John Roberts. Thanks a lot, GW. As much as, you know, personally, I love you. You're a nice guy, GW. But gee, wowas, man, you really screwed up on this one. Which actually, John Roberts did. And then the most recent decision on religious liberty. Oh, man, that's scary. Right now, we have churches, temples, congregations relegated to online services, relegated to online communication, relegated to preaching and singing all online. Everybody stay away from church, stay away from big congregations. You got more iron-fisted governors and lawmakers in some enclaves in this country making even bigger threats. You put your choir together, everybody starts belching out, you know, some song and throwing, expelling all this air. We're going to shut you down and making all sorts of ridiculous threats. No. And there's litigation against this. And I do hope it makes it all the way to the high court. But I do hope that before these cases that are suing local governments or state governments for imposing governmental edicts on the free practice of religion in our country, this should not happen. All of you guys on the left, secular, humanist, or whatever bent, you know, whatever political philosophy you come from, and say separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Okay, amigo, let's truly separate that. And you know, the whole practice of religion is codified into law, in the foundational law, the Constitution of our country, Bill of Rights. We're free to practice. So the government is not supposed to go in there and tell church what to do, right? You want separation of church and state? Yeah. You don't want the church to go into the state and tell the state, hey, you do this, you do that, prayer in schools, and we need to put this, that, and the other in public square. You constantly throw lawsuits on that. But when the state goes after the church, goes into the church and says, you can't be putting together a big choir, expelling all this air from your lungs, all these people next to each other. You can't be holding services of more than 10 people. You can't this, that. You can't. You, the government, if you are a purist, you want to say separation church and state, in my opinion, shouldn't you be saying, hey, the government has no business, no business telling church what to do? They can ask nicely, have the local county judge or the local health authority or the state's governor say, hey, pastors, you preachers, I know you've got like these big mega churches, 10,000 people, but could you guys like just pause for a little bit? I'm not going to pass some edict, some ordinance, some executive order. I'm just asking all churches, can you guys not see each other for a while, or maybe do the parking lot church? Remember how many police departments went out there at the outset of this pandemic? People were meeting in parking lots in their cars, and they were told to, everybody go home. Oh, no, but we have a big, big demonstration because a rogue cop puts a knee to the neck of a criminal. The guy dies, and everybody says it was specifically that, not the heart ailment or not any drugs in a sense, but it was that. I'm not excusing his behavior, but because of that one signature moment, you got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. I have no idea why they were protesting this in the U.K. I have no idea why they were protesting this overseas. But worldwide, people protesting shoulder to shoulder, expelling air, plenty of it, and spittle, and little air droplets, yelling and screaming, all sorts of things. And some of that stuff, even obscenities towards police. Police everywhere. And that doesn't get regulated. There is no disbanding of those get-togethers. There's no police presence telling people, go home, you can't be gathering. This is illegal. No more than 10 people, no more than 50 people. The governor said no more than 500 people, XYZ, whatever the limit was. No, there were tens and tens of thousands of people at those protests, and nobody said a thing. And law enforcement, nobody said a thing from the government. The government cannot tell church what to do. You don't want church to tell the government what to do? It goes, the same road goes all the way back. And there's litigation. And before that litigation makes it all the way to the high court, elections have consequences. Donald Trump wins. He is going to work really hard to make sure that he sends someone to the high court that says, First Amendment, you can't be messing with it. John Roberts, you were wrong. You were in the majority first go around. You need to be in the minority next go around. You were wrong, John Roberts. The state cannot be telling the church what to do. Cannot be shutting down church. Cannot be telling people not to meet, not to congregate. That's not constitutional. And see, Donald Trump, if elected, and when a certain member of the high court is no longer there, then you know who I'm talking about, and I hope she's okay, and she's strong and happy, and her family continues to love her and be with her. I don't mean any ill on this little human being who worked really hard to achieve great heights in jurisprudence. But once there needs to be someone named to the high court, Donald Trump better be there. Because if you know who makes it to the White House, you won't get your government back. That's probably the most, probably the signature, most defining decision, the consequences that this election will have is the high court of this country. Because once that is solidified, and kudos to the Trump administration, everybody working for him, working behind the scenes, and these little write-ups that I see every now and then on the district courts and the appeals courts nationwide, appointments to appellate courts. Did you know that the Ninth Circus, as I jokingly refer to it, the Ninth Circuit, West Coast, the Left Coast, Donald Trump has replaced enough judges there. There's commentary in legal circles I've been reading that it is the needle has now moved to center or center right, the potential for center to center right decisions from the Ninth Circuit Court. Elections have consequences, friend. Where is that story on the Donald Trump campaign? Because don't believe the polling data that's out there. You need to get to work. You love our country. You love America. Patriot, you got work to do. Whatever it is that you're doing for a living right now, driving around town, making deliveries, tuning in to talk radio, the Dana Show, no matter what time of the day or night it may be you're listening to this broadcast. Friend, you and I, as patriots, we love this country. We want to preserve this country. We got some work to do. And part of it is help out financially the campaigns that advocate more liberty than others. You know who they are. And definitely work for this culture that is more liberty-minded to stay in Washington, D.C., and keep fighting for proper appointments to the high court, deregulation of XYZ, and a return to normal. Best we can, try to get the economy running again and get all these people their jobs. Here it is. Election scorecard, Donald Trump. President Trump, 1 million, Joe Biden, zero. I think this is very defining of the energy, the potential surge, maybe the silent majority that I hope will give Donald Trump a big win where we won't have to depend on mail-in vote deciding close races in key swing states where the electoral numbers will go to Donald Trump. And we won't have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks for the final votes to come in. Team Trump saying its supporters knocked on at least 1 million doors in 1 week. Last week alone, 1 million doors nationwide. I hope this is all swing states. Team Biden, zero. I find it fascinating. The Trump campaign is sticking a tried and true method of getting out the vote. Face-to-face meetings, getting some workers out there with their little masks and little gloves going, knocking on doors, looking at all potential voters, people who have voted in the past. The ground game is essential. Essential for local races, essential for congressional races, and as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. Kudos to the Trump campaign. This is the way you march to victory. Keep fighting on the ground. Keep knocking on doors, because the Biden camp, they've got a lot of money. They're right behind Donald Trump, but where's the ground game? And I know why there's no science, because there's no VP choice yet from Uncle Joe. You're listening to The Dana Show. The talk line, 844-344-3262. I'm Sergio, in for Dana.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got about 5 minutes left in this hour. Appreciate you tuning in. I'm Sergio, in for our friend Dana. This is her show, The Dana Lash Show. And if you want to join the conversation at any time, exercise your First Amendment, God-given First Amendment codified right. Say something without fear of reprisal or prosecution. Next hour, we can talk to you. 844-344-3262. President Trump planning a new moratorium on evictions. Now, there were two stories that I noticed the past 15 minutes. One, Nancy Pelosi. Now, Nancy Pelosi said that she saw some light at the end of the tunnel. That sounds... I don't want that. This is just me. I don't want this compromise. I do not want the extension. Forgive me if it sounds cold and callous. But as I said yesterday, we need some painful medicine to get back to work. We have 5 million jobs that are available in this country right now, and they're going unfilled. And part of the problem, in my opinion, and you'll get a lot of talking heads on the financials and people writing up little articles on business journals saying, commenting little things like, yeah, we got way too many people receiving a little bit of extra money from the federal government, which they're not receiving anymore. But the negotiation in Washington this week was supposed to take place on maybe extending these benefits, finding trillions of dollars more to give out to everybody in checks and all that. And they're about to leave. It's already Thursday. They're supposed to be taking off tomorrow. Nancy Pelosi just moments back said she sees light at the end of the tunnel. What the heck does that mean? Are they about to saddle, what, $2 trillion? Republicans wanted $1 trillion. The Dems wanted $3 trillion. So are they somewhere in the middle, $2 trillion? Nice big fat checks and the continuation of unemployment benefits? Are the Republicans about to cave again? Meantime, if there is no agreement on more checks for everybody and a continuation of unemployment, keeping people at home instead of going back to work and filling some of those 5 million jobs that are available right now. This comment from the president, he was talking to his buddy, Geraldo Rivera. Yeah, they're all friends. Geraldo was on the reality shows. Remember, he was on the reality shows that Donald Trump had. President Trump planning a new moratorium on evictions, he said, told Geraldo in Cleveland, executive action will happen soon. He blasted the Democrats for not coming with him together on some decision on extending protections from evictions and all the assistance that he's hoping to give. If it doesn't happen before the August recess, what other choice will people have but to go find work of the millions of people getting that extra money every single week? What do they need to do to put food on the table or have to do with the state benefits that maybe they continue getting without the extra check from the government? But coming up next hour, Trump camp, the re-election camp, Twitter and Facebook going after them, taking it down, taking down some of the posts. And had a conversation with a bankruptcy attorney on tips for some of those businesses teeter-tottering on debating whether to do the bankruptcy thing. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio from her Southern Command. Thanks for listening.
The Dana Show.
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
If you knew the shows that I turned down in order to speak to you, you would be very impressed with yourself, Dana. That I can tell you.
Delivering the truth.
Are you a citizen or are you a subject? Because I'm a citizen, and I'll ask whatever question I want to whenever I want to. If you're a subject, you go on and you be a subject. I'm a citizen.
The Dana Show.
The president is prepared to take an executive action and on those two items that you're talking about, making sure that eviction protection is done. He will do that with through executive action, making sure that those enhanced unemployment payments that stopped because Democrats refused to say yes just a few days ago. He will do executive actions and take executive actions to actually address those two areas to make sure that at least what he can do is take action because Congress won't.
It's not politically expedient for these people to leave Washington without doing anything. That's Mark Meadows, Chief of Staff over at the White House. How are you, friends? I'm Sergio. This is The Dana Show, and I'm grateful that you're tuning in. And if at any time you want to chime in, have something to say, something to contribute, and the one who will determine if you get on the show, that'd be Kimmy, as Kim will make it possible. To get on the show, 844-344-3262, live online, danaradio.com. It is not to their advantage, all these lawmakers leave Washington, D.C. at the end of this week. I bet you right now there is so much negotiating taking place. They want to pass something. They do not want to give Donald Trump a political victory. Look, I don't want it. I do wish that they leave Washington, D.C. without reaching some type of compromise. I don't want the Republicans to buckle, to bend a knee to this this ransom, this these mafiosos in Washington, D.C. that are demanding you give us this money or else. This is a potential victory for Donald Trump. Look at it from my perspective, the way I see it right now. Look, these guys go home from Washington. They take their August reset. The $600 a week thing that was supposed to continue for people who are unemployed, who at this very moment, being that this past weekend, right, this past weekend was the last time that they got the $600 extra from Uncle Sam on top of the state unemployment benefit. Well, guess what they're doing right now? Some, I suspect, are maybe all nervously listening to the top and bottom of the hour news to see if there's any word on maybe an extension of those benefits. But since it takes time to look for gainful employment, it takes time to set up a Zoom phone call with somebody from HR to conduct an interview. Since it takes time to go to the cleaners and press that nice shirt, make it look nice, take a shower, shave, look real pretty. All that stuff takes time. And it's going to take several interviews for them to land a job. There are 5 million jobs that are waiting to be filled out there. We got millions of people that are on the unemployment dole. And they should be looking for a job. But I know some people say, Serge, do you blame them? It's an extra $600 in unemployment. They continue that. They're going to stay on unemployment, friend. This is very painful. The shutdown was painful. Getting back to work is painful. Restarting the economy is painful. But at what point do we decide as a nation to finally swallow some of this bitter medicine? I say it's now, but these lawmakers being in an election year, all these House members up for re-election, and some of these senators, about a third of them that are up for re-election, I'm just afraid that they're going to, you know, the Republicans are going to bend, they'll pass something. But if maybe I get my political wish, I don't wish anything bad on anybody, but anybody able-bodied and strong with bills to pay and kids to feed and their own mouth to feed, get out there as a rugged individual in the greatest country on earth, with about as free a market as you can find anywhere on the planet, that provides opportunity and through innovation and brainstorming. You could become a millionaire as well. You could be hiring people as people come to this country from other lands. They have a different perspective. They discover it's time to get back to work. If I don't get my political fantasy wish and see these guys go home, I think the president will step in. He'll sign some executive order. I don't want him to do that because I think people need to get back to work. He was the one just 2 days ago. It was on that long-winded conversation he had with the folks on Fox News, the morning show. By the way, which is like the first time I've seen what's that name of that other boy that does? It's not Ducey. It's the other guy. Kill me. Brian Kilmeade. That's the first time I've seen Brian Kilmeade awake. Normally he's, you know, working in another studio, falling asleep. I think the president himself said that he's had business people and friends tell him that, you know, they've got people looking for work now. They're coming back. This is what we need. They need to go back to work. But the president's going to step in through executive fiat. I don't know how he's going to do it. But he says he's going to try to continue unemployment benefits. And then I told you last hour, the president planning to sign a moratorium on evictions. The president saying he's ready to sign an executive order with additional coronavirus stimulus if the Republicans and the Democrats cannot sign a deal. I told reporters that it's still possible as negotiations take place. And then there was this that just broke maybe a couple of hours back. They're going to do something. I'm going all the way around the brown tear. They're probably going to do something. I don't want them to, but they're going to do something. We need to get back to work. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she says she sees the light at the end of the tunnel on additional coronavirus stimulus. She just doesn't know how long the tunnel is. Oh, Lord, please make it a tunnel that's more than 2-3 days so that way these people can leave Washington without a deal. President Trump steps in. And for the populist-minded electorate, middle-of-the-road, mushy middle, so-called independent, maybe some of them waiting for some type of assistance or relief, President Trump, guess what President Trump's going to do? He's going to cross the finish line a victor, a savior. It's a political victory for Donald Trump. And I know the Democrats don't want that for him. Don't you think? They leave Washington, Democrats, Republicans. They don't agree to spend $2 trillion over great, 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 great grandkids to give everybody a paycheck and give unemployed people more money every single week, extend all that. Donald Trump's going to step in. He's going to try. If he gets sued, guess who looks like the bad guy, the one suing? Donald Trump steps in, does something. I don't know, maybe some unspent money that has already been passed. He'll grab it from there, you know, take from Peter, pay to Paul. Take from, you know, this program's already been funded to pay for some of these unemployment benefits. Suspend payroll tax. Do something. Tell people don't evict American citizens. He will look like the populist savior. It is, either way you look at it, it's a political victory for Donald Trump. And the clock is ticking. I'm still watching the cables and everybody else to see if anybody's going to pop up with an agreement has been reached. In principle, they're going to be voting on it. The president is going to sign it here pretty soon. The effort to get President Trump a second term at the White House hitting a new milestone. The reelection camp, RNC, they said they pulled in $165 million in fundraising during the month of July. The energy is there, friend. And like I shared earlier, there's a ground game that is very real, palpable. A million doors knocked in 1 week, they claim. That's amazing. But on the money side, where it counts, on the money side, the piggy bank that's going to pay for all those radio ads and TV ads and all those online ads, if the online people don't take them down, because, you know, false advertising, that's the thing about YouTube and Twitter and all these other people. They can decide not to take the money. But didn't Dorsey already say, right? Didn't Twitter, Jack Dorsey, say no political money for him? It's just an effort to, you know, push back against Donald Trump, in my opinion. So it's probably going to be just what? Cable, satellite, local TV, radio, hello radio. And Facebook, I think Facebook is still taking political ads. But anyway, the word counts is the piggy bank to buy all those ads, to buy all those ads in the swing states. And I hope that all the door knocking, those million people, those million door knocking incidents that were reported by the reelection camp over the past week, I hope those were all swing states. $165 million, says the Republican National Committee, in fundraising for the month of July. Very strong numbers. Pushing the Trump total for the 2020 cycle over $1 billion in fundraising. And the July number was also $25 million more than what the Joe Biden camp, the DNC, took in. The DNC is not that far behind, people. All these trust fund liberal babies living off of those big bank accounts that grandma or daddy gave them. They haven't created anything. They're just living high on the hog. All these people in very rich media or in Hollywood. All these people that have made money off of capitalism. For some reason, they're advocating for political causes that go against free markets and capitalism. I have no idea how that worked out, but either way, they exist. They're opening up their wallets. I think Joe Biden, if I remember correctly, is only, I think it's single digits, unless it's low double digits, right behind Donald Trump when it comes to the cash on hand, ready to spend. But I'm just encouraged to see that they're actually spending money. Oh, comments from the NRA, because one of the big stories from today, the New York Attorney General going after the NRA, making claims of taking charitable money, not spending it right, and using it on themselves, all that, and wanting to disband the National Rifle Association. President Trump chiming in. I saw it, Kim, the one that you sent. President Trump said, yeah, you know, these guys are based up northeast. You guys should move to Texas. That would be a much better HQ for the NRA. The president of the NRA pushing back just moments ago, calling the New York Attorney General's lawsuit to dissolve the NRA, premeditated, political, baseless, just an attack on the Second Amendment freedoms of Americans. And in a tweet, the president of the NRA is saying the move is a transparent attempt to score political points entering the 2020 election cycle. So immediately they shot back. I got something to say about this whole thing of the Trump camp being silenced on Twitter. for something the president said about children and immunity. And also, Facebook, I think, took down his ad as well the past 24 hours. I had something to say on that. Kind of circles back to that thing I was saying earlier about Joe Biden always getting the pass. Uncle Joe, it's like you always expect, everybody always expects some faux pas from Joe Biden. And they will excuse it. They will look the other way. They will never call him on it. He will survive comments like, if you ain't black, if you don't vote Democrat. He's talking with a black CBS anchor and pushing back when he got cornered and saying, you want me to take a competence test? How about, you take a cocaine drug test? Are you a crackhead or are you a cocaine head? Things like that. Nobody calls him on it. And there's beautiful YouTube videos of a collection of all the shoe and mouth incidents from Joe Biden. He never gets called on it. But Donald Trump, hyperbole, exaggeration that he's known to do, nobody forgives a single word that Donald Trump says. And that, in my opinion, is what's taking place or took place with Twitter and with Facebook. And by the way, Mr. President, when are you going to shut down your Twitter account, tell the entire world you're going to shut it down and move over to Parler, Mr. President, and take everybody with you? Let's go. There's no reason to be giving Jack Dorsey all those eyeballs. It's 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. The number to call, 844-344-3262.
What makes Patriot Mobile different? It's their exceptional customer satisfaction. It's because they listen to your needs and share the same values. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is committed to supporting organizations fighting for religious freedom, First and Second Amendments, sanctity of life, and the needs of veterans and first responders by donating a portion of every dollar to the causes you believe in. And now, with the broadcast coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks, all Patriot Mobile plans include unlimited talk and data with high-value commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for free activation, multi-line discounts, veteran and first responder discounts, and up to $600 in referral bonus dollars. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Dana. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing conservatives.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
In the meantime, my administration's exploring executive actions to provide protections against eviction. Eviction's a big problem, very unfair to a lot of people. It wasn't their fault that this virus came from a faraway land, as well as additional relief to those who are China. Unemployed as a result of the virus. Very importantly, I'm also looking at a term-limited suspension of the payroll tax, something that has great support from many, many sides, especially some of our top economists and some people that we have great respect for. So we're looking at a suspension of the payroll tax.
Am I supposed to read something into that comment by the president where he said, virus came to us from a faraway land? China. China. Say it again, Mr. President, like you said it before. Or are we looking at some envoy visiting here or there, going to Taiwan, or maybe talking trade again with China? You know where the origins of the virus that we're all messing with right now? Anyway, so the Democrats are setting up President Trump. If they don't pass something, they're setting him up. Uncle Don, Daddy Don, what the president did. Hey, make sure that people understand that paycheck that they got. It came from us, came from Donald Trump. He wanted to put a signature on there, right? They're setting him up to be the savior. And this little talk about Nancy Pelosi saying that she sees the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, they don't want that. That's the last thing that they want. He's going to step in there and try to save the American people because Congress can't do its job. I'll talk a bit more about Twitter and Facebook taking down the Trump camp and some claim on children being immune to the coronavirus and all that. And before I go to headlines, former First Lady Michelle Obama saying that she's experiencing low-grade depression, she says. It's the political climate that we're in. It's coronavirus. But and I looked, I saw that, so I'm going, what are you talking about, Michelle Obama? Every single major poll has Joe Biden way in the lead, especially in swing states. You should be celebrating right now, don't you think? Doing a victory jig already. Anyway, all right, Kimmy, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let's see. The U.S. government reaching a deal with Johnson & Johnson. 100 million doses COVID-19 vaccine. $1 billion is the price tag on that deal. Johnson & Johnson is in early clinical trials. Late stage trials. That's still 30, 60 days away. World's biggest cleaning product maker saying it probably will be next year when they finally catch up with the demand. Comments from the CEO at Clorox saying Clorox wipes, they can't produce enough of them. There's no way you're going to see any on the shelf anytime soon. And Southwest Airlines announcing plans to reduce not only cabin cleaning procedures, they will wipe down the belt buckle, but also leave the middle seat empty. You're listening to The Dana Show, 844-344-DANA.
Quick Five is brought to you by Caltech. Innovation, quality, performance. Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
The Dana Show from her Southern Command office, as I refer to it, her studios, our casa es su casa. It's the KURV studios, South Texas, Tip of Texas, the Dana Show, Southern Command. My name is Sergio, and I appreciate the call, Dana. Lord bless you, and hope you get some rest, friend, you and Chris and all the crew. In the meantime, you're welcome to join the conversation. Anything in the news today, lots of stuff rolling out there. 844-344-DANA is the number to call live online, danaradio.com. So Twitter, the Twitter account for the campaign, President Trump, and Facebook also going after President Trump because of the video, a quote from President Trump from yesterday, I believe, or maybe the day before, I apologize. I just know it was within the last 24, 48 hours. And the words, specifically the words from President Trump, children, quote, are almost immune. And because he said the immune word and children almost immune, well, it was immediately interpreted by, I don't know who these faceless so-called fact checkers are. You know, I see the same pictures that you see on social media, these little flaky types, little snowflakes, and these little mental children. I don't know, maybe living in mama's basement. They're working for, you know, they feel they have power now. I remember one of the posts said, you know, I have power. I'm a fact checker, and I'm able to take down accounts. Well, because the president said that they're almost immune, I guess it was interpreted by some individuals that this is false information because the president said that the children are immune. No one's immune from the coronavirus. No one's immune from the common cold. Even when people get the flu shot, they're not all immune. Not even the flu shot has 100% effectiveness and immunity. President Trump did not say children are immune. The specific words were, are almost immune. And for someone who is not on the front lines of medicine, as a leader of our nation, and is very, Donald Trump, President Trump, is likely better informed than even some people on the front lines of medicine with all the people that he surrounds himself. I'm just saying, considering all these brainiacs that are providing him trends and numbers and, you know, this group of people that work for for the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control, all these folks looking at all the trends up and down, hot states and cold states and the death rates and all that, and what's happening with the virus, the comments constantly coming out of the White House on vaccines. The president laser focused on the vaccines, how the vaccine's doing, because that might be, at least psychologically, a silver bullet for many people to shed all that fear and to get back to life. We can. We were there once, right before the economic shutdown, this COVID shutdown, which, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Now you probably would say, well, we shouldn't have done that, but it's all shoulda, woulda, coulda now, but we can get back to life. And there is technology to help us to do that. There are these surface cleaners, and I know some school districts are using, I got one here in the studio, and we got air scrubbers that are used at hospitals and used in clean rooms. They clean the air and the air conditioning systems. There's low rate gas hydrogen peroxide expellers like the one I have in my studio that zap and kill viruses, mold, and bacteria. We have the technology to get people back into safe places, clean places. If we had clean rooms that provided the most advanced technology in discs and microchips and medical technology that had to be produced in a clean room, if we have laboratories that constantly process the most dangerous pathogens known to human beings, that if one of those vials were to fall on the floor and break, it would kill everybody in the building and everybody would become a zombie, you know, something like that. We have these CDC labs and these clean labs that filter the air, protect the air. They have all these HIPAA filters. We have the technology, is all I'm trying to say. The president sees all that stuff. And we can get back to life. Psychologically, we just need a magic bullet to shed ourselves of all this fear. President Trump did not say that children are immune. President Trump, one of the better, most informed American citizens on the issue of COVID-19, just because he's having to make decisions on this thing, he and the vice president and all his crew, fact-checked by some nameless, faceless snowflake who will, on this day, probably read several statements from political enemies of the president, political opponents of the president running for the presidency, and won't fact check that. Won't fact check, I don't know, claims like commercials from the opposing candidate showing world leaders laughing at Trump, never putting into perspective, why are they laughing at? They're not laughing at Trump. They're laughing with Trump. What were they talking about? They'll just put little, but that's the way politics is. In politics, you're able to put together a little 30-second vignette, a little 30-second commercial, show images of people laughing, and they say, oh, they're laughing at Trump. They're laughing about something else. They're not laughing at Trump. But that's, you know, they will not fact-check that, but they will constantly fact-check every single word out of Donald Trump because they hate him, because they don't want him in the White House, and they want to get rid of him, and they will do their part as Facebook police, as Twitter police, and they're free to do that, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm poo-pooing on Twitter and Facebook, but I want them to be free. I do want them to be free of government regulation. I don't want Uncle Sam. And I know as tempted as President Trump is to do something about Jack Dorsey and all the fact-checking and policing and taking down the comments and Facebook taking down claims and ads, let them be. That's the free market. That is their right. They are a free company. First Amendment issues on free speech only apply to the government. I'm telling you not to say this or not to say that. Only applies to the government going after you because you think wrong, you speak wrong, or as some would like to label, you are conducting violence through speech. Your words are violence. Your silence is violence. So which one is it? Silence is violence or your words are violence? And then you're expelling hate speech. What a misnomer. What a concept. But it's already been accepted, and it's already part of the American lexicon and media. All these news reports, hate speech this, hate speech that. All these policymakers and politicians, hate speech. There is no such thing as hate speech. I am there in that liberty-minded point of view. It is all speech, man. It's all speech. But because Donald Trump said it, they will police him and scrutinize every single dotted I and cross T. They will scrutinize everything. In essence, if you were to give a pass to Donald Trump like they give a pass to Joe Biden on all the stupid things that he says and all the racist things that he says and things that you think would sink his campaign if these enterprising reporters were to apply to scrutinize the Biden campaign with the same lens they scrutinized Donald Trump. In essence, the president said the children are not immune. First of all, he didn't say they were immune. That's the reason they took it down, right? Because he said they were immune. He said they're not immune. They're almost immune. First of all, no one's immune. But to put the qualifier almost before immune, presto, almost, they're not. But the fact is, and this, anyone claiming on the left, demanding that police be removed from campuses, that the charter schools be done away with, that XYZ demands be met before teachers go back in the classroom that have nothing to do with COVID-19. All these people making claims about science, the science is not with you. Thank God, children, they're doing good. When it comes to COVID-19, coronavirus, thank God the children are doing fine. And I speak as a parent of two little dudes and one who has messed up lungs. Or not, thank God, not messed up, but thanks to the CF Foundation, very compromised lungs. And we'll just leave it at that. Rapper Kanye West, he's still trying to do. I'm convinced that maybe this was a conversation behind the scenes. He pretends that he doesn't like Donald Trump anymore. Liar. Kanye West trying to get on the ballot as a independent. Let's see, where is he now? Oh, thank you, Kanye. He's in Colorado. Yeah, it'd be nice to overcome some of the ballot funny business in at the post office and through the mail, and maybe Kanye could get on the Colorado ballot for president and join the. And you guys remember in voting for president, right? How many people are on the ballot for president? Isn't it like, it's a long list, right? If you actually take a look and count all the people, Libertarian and then Green Party and I don't know, the Lego Party and all these other different names. It's usually about 7, 8, maybe 9 names, right? Only the top 2 get it. Maybe a little bit of votes for the Libertarian and the Greenies. But Kanye's going to run as an independent. He's actually making an effort on this. And in my opinion, which is probably yours as well, probably going to siphon a few votes, a few fans, his direction. Those few fans, I think those few fans and votes, if they show up and vote for Kanye, yeah, those votes may have gone to Joe Biden, right? So maybe he's like taking a few votes away. So Kanye West making a move to be included on the Colorado ballot for president in November. And there's some news reports saying that he has filed paperwork with the Colorado Secretary of State's office. He will be an unaffiliated candidate, an independent candidate. Da, 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 da. The deadline to do so was yesterday. So behind the scenes, some work taking place. What was the other state? I think it was Oklahoma, right? There were 2 other states I remember were mentioned. Now, I don't know. We're less than 90 days. I'm wondering how many deadlines are popping up this week, but as long as Kanye did some work in, let's see, the Carolinas, right? Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Minnesota, yeah, Indiana. I hope that, now he's got money to do that. I hope he was able to at least make an effort to get on there and try to siphon a few votes in his direction and, I don't know, help out his buddy, Donald Trump. That's just my point of view. Let's see here. Some good news from the White House. This is the type of news that I It's just in my opinion, I think this topic is much more important than many things that are rolling in the news right now. Justice Department, they said they've committed $35 million to help human trafficking victims. And being on the U.S.-Mexican border, where I broadcast to you from, we are the front door to a lot of this injustice. Man, you talk about an injustice that demands that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, like they did during the George Floyd thing, that they take to the streets and demand an end to indentured sexual servitude from children and women and all these slaves. So at the White House, the president said $35 million from the Justice Department, grant money for many organizations across the country doing God's work on the front lines, trying to find these children, trying to find these women who are part of the human trafficking, sex trafficking, black, dark, ugly industry. The president explained survivors have faced heightened dangers because of the coronavirus and lack of communication with people who can help them. So $35 million, 70 different organizations nationwide on the front lines of trying to save these people, part of human trafficking. Where is that in the news? Is this the first time you heard it today? Well, that's a darn shame, ain't it? It's 10 minutes left in this hour. You're listening to The Dana Show from what I refer to her Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Talk line 844-344-DANA.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Appreciate you checking in. Got about 5 minutes left in this hour. And if you want to join the conversation, 844-344-DANA, 844-344-3262. And Kimmy, do me a favor. Let's take care of Florida Man right now.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, this story caught my eye. A woman who went through hell for approximately 6 hours. Her husband at a Florida COVID-19 unit got a phone call from somebody at the hospital, told her, your husband has died. It did not survive COVID-19 conditions. And, well, you can just imagine the torment, the pain, the heartache. 6-7 hours, I believe it was the period. And then another phone call after about 6-7 hours, the same hospital saying, oh, by the way, ma'am, we made a mistake. Your husband is alive. this Florida woman saying her emotions, completely blown out of the water, shot as expected. The husband is now in another hospital, and that hospital saying, yeah, we're going to make an extra effort to make sure she's properly informed and is up to date on everything. But I don't know, man. I think maybe a couple of calls to an attorney might be taking place here pretty soon. Let me end, if I got time. Kimmy, I got about a minute left or so, give or take. Okay, let me go to Todd, and we're going to end with a Florida call. Another Florida man. Todd is in Florida. Welcome to the Dana Show. Go ahead, buddy. Is Todd still there? Maybe he already... Oh, yeah, he's gone. He already took off. I think you want to talk about masks and mask issues, people being exempt from. Anyway, we can take some of your calls next hour as well. Yeah, he did. He dropped. All right. Listen, I appreciate you guys checking. I don't have any more time for other calls. There's something else I wanted to mention to you. Oh, this one from Florida as well, which could be another Florida man. So, on the ground, security officials saying that three teenagers are very lucky President Trump and his family were not at Mar-a-Lago at the resort, or these teens would likely be dead. You see, three 15-year-olds decided to jump the fence at the president's Florida resort. They dropped a backpack, and the backpack contained a loaded semi-automatic. Officers say that they didn't realize that they were trespassing on the president's resort. They just saw a fence. I guess they were walking nearby, and then they decided to jump in there. They were found hiding on the president's property at Mar-a-Lago, facing trespassing, burglary, firearm, resisting arrest as well. And put on top of that, what, Secret Service, right? Can you imagine the encounter these kids would have had the Secret Service been there and they found that gun? Well, lucky them, right? Next hour of the program, we'll take your calls at 844-344-3262. And I promised you a conversation that I had with a bankruptcy attorney that might have a good solution for you. If you're teeter-tottering, you don't know what to do, yeah, bankruptcy might be an option. That's next hour of The Dana Show.
The Dana Show.
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
If you knew the shows that I turned down in order to speak to you, you would be very impressed with yourself, Dana. That I can tell you.
Delivering the truth.
Are you a citizen or are you a subject? Because I'm a citizen, and I'll ask whatever question I want to whenever I want to. If you're a subject, you go on and you be a subject. I'm a citizen.
The Dana Show.
White people... There are white people who are not as powerful as the system of white people, the caste system that's been put in place, but they still, no matter where they are on the rung or the ladder of success, they still have their whiteness.
Caste system. Where you really can't climb from the lower rung up to a slightly lower rung, then to a middle rung, and eventually up to what, royalty or caste system. Man alive, I like Oprah. That's Oprah. That's the almighty O. Billionaire Oprah Winfrey denouncing white privilege and referring to a caste system in America. Oprah, oh friend, white privilege. White privilege, she says. Oh, by the way, my name is Sergio. Last name Sanchez. No white privilege here, but blessed and privileged to be helping out our precious friend, Dana. This is The Dana Show. And if you want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262. The Oprah, the billionaire Oprah. Textbook, billionaire, American success story. White privilege, she says. A talented communicator, affable. How else do I refer to her? Multimillionaire, billionaire. You know, some people have been given 5 talents in this life. Other people have been given 4 talents in this life. What is her talent? She's likable. She's a good communicator. Maybe she just has one talent. She's a gifted communicator. And she's likable. And she had what it takes, I guess, to do the TV thing. See, I believe that for the most part, people wind up where they should be. For me, is radio. Face for radio, voice for radio. God-given gift, and you know, I'm able to flap my gums and talk about stuff and read and talk about more stuff and learn and talk about more stuff and do it in a way where it's engaging. And you know, you're out there somewhere across America tuning in. Dana, same thing, great writer and editor. And, you know, Oprah, good communicator, great communicator, affable. She got the TV thing. I got the radio thing. She got the TV thing. White privilege and caste system. You know, I grew up in Mexico and witnessed a true caste system. Not as bad as the caste system in India. Now, man, you talk about a society that is just filled with multiple layers of individuals who do nothing but look down on the ones who are immediately beneath their feet. And look down on other. See, in Mexico, that exists. That old, I don't know if it's rooted in the old royalty caste system, but for example, Mexico City, and in Mexico, and just in general, the caste system in Mexico, which is not as bad, I think, is not as bad as the one in India. I just hear from friends who come from there and explain to me how bad it is, how difficult it is for individuals to climb out of those holes and to climb society. Unlike in America, a little girl who I don't remember what city she came from, but she's got the gift of gab. And she's a good writer, and she's got the face for television, and she got her start in Chicago TV and had her own talk show, and eventually becomes an all-American success story, a billionaire, Oprah Winfrey. She may have come from a lower caste and had a troubled childhood and abuse and all that, but now look at her. Look at Oprah Winfrey. How dare you, Oprah? My goodness. Oh, man alive. I don't want to speak ill of you because you should be an example to not only black children, but all children. You can do it. Kids in Appalachia, you can do it. Kids in Barrios in L.A. And by the way, big hug and kiss to our Danish Show L.A. affiliate, the Barrios in L.A. or the Colonias of Deep South Texas, wherever you come from, you can become an Oprah type. Not everybody can be Oprah. Not everybody can be a multimedia tycoon like Oprah. But the opportunities are all there. You know, one of my favorite shows, and I love watching it with my mom. My mom lives from our house. She lives about 3 minutes away. We're blessed to have mom close to us after dad passed away. And there she is. She's eating a little bowl of carne guisada and some rice, whatever. You know, I bring her every I thank God every single day I get to see her. And TV turns on. It is, forgive me if I said it wrong. I think she's on CNBC, right? They have Shark Tank, right? I think it's CNBC, the Shark Tank in the evening. Oh, story after story, success story after success story. Some people walk away without any money. Other people walk in with investment. I walk away with investments. And Lori and Mr. Wonderful and Mark Cuban, sometimes they plop some money on the table. It's story after story after story of success, of entrepreneurship, of people, you know, I know AOC doesn't believe it, but people picking themselves up by their bootstraps. That's the way they figured it out. But their ingenuity, their ideas, it's free market, it's capitalism, it's success, it's America. Oprah Winfrey, there is no caste system in America, woman. What's the matter with you? People can rise from poverty, from the inner city, from an abusive situation, and become titans of communication industry like you, but maybe in other industries, in hair accessories or some new food products or new engines or whatever they show up at the Shark Tank to try to sell to these investors so they hit the mainstream of marketing and sell online or on TV, QVC, or go to Walmart or Target, whatever. Just make millionaires of more people. There is no caste system in America. There is no caste system in America. The only limitations that individuals place on themselves come from themselves. They're the only ones who place limits on themselves. From inner city to barrios to colonias to Appalachia, how many tens of thousands of school districts do we have in this country presently shuttered, and all these teachers and administrators trying to figure out how to do online learning? How many do we have nationwide that provide the same? Yeah, you may not agree with, you know, the new math stupid way of teaching math. I have no idea where they get all this stuff, but math, reading, writing, arithmetic. It's all the same thing. You got community college, you got trade schools, you got universities. You have educational opportunities. Man, we're drowning in educational opportunities. Free public education. Now, if parents don't teach their children, this is your ticket out of here, babe. And they live in the misery that they have they themselves put themselves in. They themselves are in. They brought their children in. Education is the great equalizer in this country. Education is available nationwide. I think we have like 80,000 different school districts and educational entities in this nation. We don't have a caste system in this country. That is a lie. Well, and before I forget, because I was supposed to mention this earlier, I had all these notes in front of me. Gee, wow, I was trying to get them all organized. The other lie that let me mention before I go back to Oprah and hit that piñata several more times. This whole thing about systemic racism and police, could you please explain to me, how is it possible that we have systemic racism in police, and yet I'm having a hard time negotiating that lie, that claim, because the data is not there to show that, to prove that? Because you would need 50 plus one to say, you know, here's the majority. It is systemic. Cops get out of bed every single day. They put on their little pig socks and pig uniforms, and their objective every single day is to go out there and kill black people and kill minorities, right? That's systemic, right? That's ACA. B, all cops are illegitimate children, you know, bastards, and or, you know, all cops are pigs and got to take everything down. Got to take the whole system down, right? All right, so how do you negotiate that with the latest Gallup poll that says that over 80% in our black community, in our American black community, over 80% say, no, don't be defunding the police. No, we need to keep police presence and police forces at least as is. And by the way, we kind of need to increase more police presence and policing and police protection. That's 8 in 10 of blacks in our country, 8 in 10 African Americans. How do you negotiate that? And by the way, Latinos, north of that, about 85, if I remember. Whites, about 89%. It was only the Asian community. Right? You want to look at the uber successful Asian community that's come into this country, has taken advantage of the fact that we have no caste system here and have catapulted to business prominence and success, money success, educational success. You talk about an ethnic group that gets discriminated against because they're too successful. Asians, they're the ones that were like in the 70%. Maybe they didn't understand the question. 70-some-odd percent saying we need to keep the same amount or maybe even more police. How do you negotiate the lie? How do you negotiate the claim that is a lie that there's systemic racism in policing in this nation? And then you got 80% plus African Americans, black Americans in this nation. No, we need more police. Keep it as is. We need more police now that you mention it. We have cowards in industry, cowards in entertainment that have accepted this lie, and it's a sad state where we are right now. Okay, back to Oprah. Caste system is in Mexico. Caste system is in India. Caste system is in other societies where they are leaving those countries to come here because here you can take whatever amount of talent, whether it's 5-4 talent or one talent, you're a good communicator and you're affable and become a millionaire. That's a great disservice to our nation, a great disservice to not only the African-American, but it's a great disservice to the entire country for her to be spewing lies like that. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for our friend Dana. You want to join the conversation? 844-344-3262. Live online, danaradio.com.
Miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
I was just listening to that tape, and I would offer the observation, Tucker, that Vice President Biden's handlers have clearly decided that the very best campaign that the Vice President can offer to the American people is no campaign. That's why they're hiding him on most days. Even Google can't find him. Is that because of his health? I don't know. I hope not.
Man, you talk about a non-traditional campaign for president. These guys think that they're in the lead, and all they're doing is making a mistake like any, you know, football game. You still follow football, and the team's barely in the lead. They're going to be playing defense, defense, defense. It's going to slip through their fingers. Yeah, I'm glad this is starting to pick up some steam. They're hiding something. Oh, by the way, that was Senator Joe Kennedy from Louisiana. I'm Sergio. This is The Dana Show, and it is an honor that you tune in. 844-344-DANA is the phone number. You make it by Kimmy. You make it on the radio. You know, and going back to what I was telling you last segment about even no talents like YouTubers making money in this country. God bless America. Liberty. Free markets. No caste system, Oprah. I see people online. When I go social media, somebody out there is making money hand over fist, selling T-shirts. Just selling T-shirts. That's it. You know, when I gave you the example of the Shark Tank a few minutes back, of all the people that make it to the show, there is an untold number, likely thousands of people. And I know this because a precious friend of mine used to work at the radio station. He tried that some years back. And he came back telling me how he was in the freezing cold up in Dallas for an audition. And there were people lined up around the corner, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people for a tryout session for Shark Tank. All these business ideas, and only a few of them get chosen for the TV show. Online, I see people making money hand over fist, selling T-shirts. I was joking around earlier about someone on Fox this morning said, "Hiding Biden, hiding Biden." Someone's going to make money off of that. Right now, they're probably like copywriting and already putting on a, slapping it on a T-shirt. You'll see it on the streets of D.C. or New York. Hiding Biden, hiding Biden. The other one was, Comey went rogue. Comey went rogue. That's another one should be slapped on a T-shirt. So making money. That's the American way. God bless the American system. Man, you talk about a non-traditional campaign for president. We're under 90 days. Joe Biden, he's still dithering with a Veep choice. Seriously. I mean, is this, guys, some of y'all in media and political nerds, you know, a whole lot better than I do, as much as, you know, a big fan as I am, and I follow this and feed my family with it. Guys, is this the longest we've gone? Is this the closest we've gotten to an election without a vice presidential choice by a major candidate? Is this the closest we've ever done? Because it sure seems like it. We're under 90 days now. And not even the people that are supposed to design the campaign signs to put on yards and on street signs, they don't have anything to put on there. It's Biden / question mark, question mark, question mark. They should just put like a generic silhouette of a woman, because we know it's going to be a woman. I can't even say if it's going to be white or black. He favors black, but then who he has to choose? The lady that stabbed in the back on the first debate, Kamala Harris? You want to go there? You want to go with Susan Rice and all the baggage that she brings? Who, by the way, I was reading in a fascinating article, Susan Rice's kid, her son. What is mama going to say? She loves her son. He's a Trumper. He's a Trump supporter. Her son, that's a smart boy. Boy, that fruit fell far away from the liberal tree from Susan Rice. But all the baggage that she brings with Benghazi and all the lies at the UN and before lawmakers. We can put Biden / undetermined, undeclared, yet unnamed surprise female. Maybe we'll make it like a game out of it. Maybe the Democrats should make a name out of it. It'll be surprise, surprise. It's like a little gift. It's like you purchase a little toy pack, and then one of those little toy packs is wrapped. You can't see what it is, and it's like a little extra figure. Oh, look at that pretty little surprise. It's like putting coins in a little machine and getting a prize out of it. What could it be? What could it be? It's kind of like that. So go ahead and make the Biden for president with a little silhouette of a female next to it, right? My goodness, you talk about non-traditional 90 days before the election. Right now, Joe Biden, you know, if they had nothing to hide, Joe Biden, who loves the taste of his shoe, he'd be out there sticking a shoot in his mouth with veterans, little veterans groups, on a daily basis. Yes, I know it's COVID-19 season. I know he's like 180 years old, but give that dude, you know, you can talk all the smack that you want. I know you guys are taking hydroxychloroquine. I would agree with Dr. Emanuel. A lot of these dudes, I believe they are taking the low dose, regular dose of hydroxychloroquine with some quinine tonic water, you know, Canada Dry with some zinc, high concentration vitamin C, maybe the Z-Pack. Yeah, they're taking that as a preventative. I bet you a whole bunch of these people are taking it. They take it. They protect themselves, even in medicine. And yet, when they get in front of the microphone, they poo-poo Donald Trump for saying anything. Give him some of that stuff. Get him out of the basement. But what are you hiding? You're hiding his mouth. And you're probably hiding something wrong. He should be meeting with veterans. He should be on assembly lines. He should be at respirator manufacturing companies. He should be on the border. You know that ticket? The left thought they had it would be a success for them. Those children in cages and anti-immigrant stands by Donald Trump. He should be on the border. Where is he? He's in the bunker. He's in the Biden bunker. Here's a little comment from Dr. Mark Siegel from a little earlier today. It's cut 12, Kimmy. Go ahead.
Again, I can't diagnose him over a video camera, but when he was talking about those two animals, he wasn't even talking about the president. He was talking about a CNN anchor that made that mistake. That shows wandering. I've made my career about not diagnosing remotely, but I'm concerned about a lot of the things I'm seeing, and I feel more towards the president's point that it's fair game. It's something that's fair game. These tests aren't done, then the voters have to decide, right? But I think it's right to have an assessment. Now, we had a medical examination in December, a full medical examination, but this was not addressed at that time, Sean.
Talking to Sean Hannity, Dr. Mark Siegel over at Fox, who, by the way, lost a loved one. If I remember correctly, I think he lost his father to COVID-19. And I remember it was one little quip, one little mention. Yeah, up in New York, probably because of the governor's mismanagement of the COVID-19 thing early on. But yeah, this is the man, Joe Biden. This is the guy the Democrats will go and pull the lever for, straight ticket, Democrat Party, send him and his ilk up to Washington, D.C. This is the guy that will be leading the free world. Cut 5, the China policy from Joe Biden. Just a little example of just smattering, bumbling. Cut 5, Kimmy, go.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact invades in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact, that's when things begin to change. China's behavior is going to change.
My goodness, what did he just say? You know, we'll probably play that one here at the end of the hour. Just that, ladies and gentlemen, that is how many candidates that they have on the Democrat side in the primary? What was it, like 20 something? I mean, I know there were a lot of no names there and a lot of people probably angling to get an MSNBC consultant job and maybe, I don't know, write a book or something and say, look, I ran for president. I was a Democrat Party presidential candidate. Oh, really? I don't remember you. Like, what? Wasn't it like over 20 at one point? Republicans had 16, and the Republicans back in 2016 really had a diverse field with, you know, Latinos and, you know, blacks and all that. This one, they had like over 20 people, right? And this is the cream of the crop? Why not, Kimmy? Play cut 5 once again. There's Joe Biden. This is the cream of the crop from the Democrats. Go ahead, cut 5 again, Kimmy.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact invades in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact, that's when things begin to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
My goodness. My goodness. All right. And as far as those debates, I still don't think they're going to happen. I don't know what excuse they will pull out of their ear or out of another orifice. I don't know what excuse they will find, but they will not put Joe Biden to speak directly with Donald Trump. Listening to this and the genuine, legitimate concern nationwide, Joe Biden, when I hear stuff like this, he's not capable to lead. He's not there anymore. It's not the Joe Biden of old. Lord help him. I'd say Lord heal him. Genuinely saying, Lord, heal him and give him wisdom. But no, that's a shell. That's not. And people will, individuals who hate Trump, who will vote against Trump, will willingly put on Joe Biden a representation of something that he isn't. They will claim that he's for this, he's for that, he represents me. He can't even put two sentences together. Cut seven, Kimmy. The president says it best. Cut seven, Kimmy. Go ahead.
Mr. President, is Joe Biden a moderate? Is that what voters will believe?
Joe Biden's whatever they tell him to be. And I think it's good that a wife is, I would expect a wife to say that. That's the appropriate thing to say. But Joe is being taken so far left. Look at the manifesto that he and Bernie agreed to. That's further left than Bernie ever was. No borders.
He's just an image. Joe is just an image. And as long as he, you know what the Bible says, even a fool who doesn't speak, right? Even a fool who says nothing, who doesn't speak, will seem wise. And that's the strategy right now. That is a strategy right now by the Biden camp. Let me share with you a story I had in my pile that I really wanted to get across to you from Austin, Texas. And I want to say a big hug and a kiss to one of our listeners who sent this over to me. I missed it overnight. From Fox 7 in Austin. Something you should know. It's comical, but it's so sad. The leftist, so-called progressive, that's actually regressive point of view. There's a bike shop up in Austin, Texas. You know, police officers in Austin, Texas, a capital of Texas, the weird place in Texas where there's a bunch of libs, really crazy lefties. There's a local bike shop in Austin that has canceled its contract with the Austin Police Department. An officer said that he was told that some employees, and the name says it all, Fred. The name of this bike shop, Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop. You just play a little sitar in the back and light up some incense. Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop. So the employees said that some customers were complaining that they were selling bikes to police officers. You know, the ACAB, all cops are illegitimate children. All cops are pigs as well. My goodness. So the shop decided to terminate the contract with Austin Police just because of some of these snowflakes came in there. Austin Police downtown consists of 150 bicycle patrol officers, and this shop, Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop, they would provide the bikes and service for these police officers. And said because of these complaints, they can't do that anymore. Open letter to the community. Dear Austin, in the context of the current evaluation of community policing in Austin, we have decided to no longer purchase, resell, and service police-issued Trek bikes and accessories under a City of Austin contract that we have. We regret not publicizing our decision before it was presented by others on social media. That's how the word got out. And it got out because, rightfully so, individuals are upset with this bike shop no longer providing the equipment that Austin police trying to keep the peace, these peace officers trying to protect Austin with some of the protests. They're no longer providing those bikes. Well, good luck. Good luck making money. I hope you have enough snowflakes in Austin who hate police. Because anyone who loves the police or supports the police or supports rule of law, I don't believe any of those individuals will be doing any more business at Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop. 10 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Dana. Yo, Chris. Dana's got the phone again. She's on Twitter. Take that phone away. Tell him to go to sleep. It's time to get some rest. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio from her Southern Command in South Texas. Appreciate you checking in. You want to say hi online? The Parler address. Hello, less Twitter, more Parler. The Parler address, which is the same thing on the Twitters, as Dana says, is at Sergio Talk. S-E-R-G-I-O. At Sergio Talk. At Sergio Talk. Parler and Twitter. Facebook thing. You want to say hi? It's I know there's lots of Sergio Sanchez people. The little porthole, you know, bottom left, the little circle, it's a cystic fibrosis related one. Some other news that I saw trending. This one from Southern California. Their county, San Diego County, they said they're setting up a COVID-19 testing site at the border with Mexico. Hey, good idea. Essential workers, other citizens coming in to the U.S. from Mexico, which, by the way, the port of entry is still supposed to be closed for tourist traffic, the land ports. Now, there is no big touristy traffic coming back and forth and family traffic coming back and forth with Mexico. Mexico, if you did not know, and I don't blame you because, well, journalism malpractice is the way things are done up in New York. Our free trade partner, Mexico. You know, they're number three in the world when it comes to deaths. Number three, rising fast, Mexico. Do you know that? Of course not. Media's not going to give you that information. And I mentioned yesterday that UConn, the Huskies, said they're not playing. So good luck in the, what is it, the Big East? Because they were supposed to, all these conferences were supposed to have just in-conference competitions. The UConn Huskies said, no, we're not playing. And another domino has fallen. This time it's Division III Sports NCAA. There will be no fall sports championships this season. NCAA Division III. That'd be the tiny, tiny colleges, I think. Some of the smaller schools that still have football programs. But the dominoes are falling. I don't know if there will be college football. They can't afford it. It's billions upon billions of dollars for universities. But the dominoes are falling. Just watch and see what happens. All right, Kimmy, let's do the stupid audio of the day. Go ahead.
So we have audio from Joe Biden again.
Of course we do.
And we're a little concerned over his health.
Yeah. The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact engages in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world, that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact, that's when things began to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Invasion, open trade, WHO. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the cream of the crop of the Democrat Party. There you go. That's your choice. Thanks for tuning in.